You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Welcome one and all to another live broadcast of TPC. I'm your host, James Edwards, along with Keith Alexander, this Saturday evening, April the 22nd. We have this week and next before we wrap up Confederate History Month 2023. Coming up,
we got a bonus week.
We do, yes, that's right. There's a bonus Saturday, five of them this month, so a little bonus there for Confederate History Month. It all wraps up next week, but not before we talk to Gene Andrews tonight, the caretaker of the Nathan Bedford Forrest Boyhood Home right here in Tennessee. He's going to be back with us to talk about the South's greatest warrior, and Neil Kumar, former candidate for Congress, who is now in his final year at the University of Arkansas School of Law. He's going to be back with us to discuss his chapter, his contribution to the book we've been promoting all month, The Honorable Cause of Free South. But I'll tell you, before we get to those two gentlemen and before we wrap up this special series next week, we've got a lot of news to cover this hour. Two very big stories. This is part of TPC's standard fare, and after we get clear of Confederate History Month, we'll be back to doing the usual routine and the usual coverage of current events and news and headlines for the full show.
Same
as
old
you are
drill.
Accustomed to. That's right. We'll see if we can fall back into to doing the normal routine after 2 months of special series. But here, Keith, let's just get right down to it. That's what's coming up. We don't have a minute to waste, barely enough time to tell you what's happening tonight. Top story, I think, this week is the indictments that were handed down in Charlottesville. Now, a little bit earlier today, I actually talked on the phone with Richard Barnett. He was the one of the January Sixers who, in that iconic picture, put his foot up on Nancy Pelosi's desk. I heard that the prosecution was asking for 47 years.
And the electric chair.
Well, it's basically a death sentence for somebody in his 60s, if that's in fact what they get. But there you have it. A U.S. jury convicted a man of putting his feet on Pelosi's desk. Now, what they actually called it was, they said he was guilty of felony obstruction of official proceedings, civil disorder, and theft of government property. He took a note that was addressed to Nancy off her desk and took it outside as a little souvenir. And, okay, you know, hey, maybe there should be some punishment for that. But I don't know if a life sentence is fitting of the crime. And believe me, he notices that BLM and Antifa terrorists can literally burn down cities and not even be arrested at all. Now, obstruction of official proceedings. That's what they called what happened on January 6th. They said it was the greatest threat to our democracy since the war between the states. They call it the Civil War. But as we mentioned earlier this month on the program, when support groups of the regime did the exact same thing, obstructing the official proceedings of the Tennessee State Legislature and the Kentucky State Legislature, you know what the media called that? They did call it the greatest threat to our democracy. They said, this is what democracy looks like, and we need to see this every week. You have Alvin Bragg, the guy who's going after Donald Trump. He said he's not going to prosecute theft in New York anymore. He said that is a crime of poverty, and we need equity, whatever in the hell that means. In Chicago, you had the black Marxist mayor up in Chicago say he's going to defund the police. If you commit a crime, they're going to send a counselor to you, not a cop. And what did you have as a result? Total chaos in Chicago last week, borderline anarchy. The new mayor says they're kids and they deserve a break. You had a mob of blacks about five deep in a ring around a white woman just beating the hell out of her. And so that's where we're at. You know, you could have said a counselor. Jamarcus, you know, you shouldn't have beaten the hell out of that white woman. Scott Adams was right. Black criminality is skyrocketing in the cities, especially in the cities. Inundated. On social media, I am inundated every day with countless occurrences of it. You cannot live with these people. You cannot live in this system. There is no future for our people here. A godly people who want law and order, that's not the United States. You can forget about it. And as I've said, it's a mantra now. I don't want to make America great again. I want to leave America behind and learn from the mistakes there. But so this guy, you know, facing life in prison for the situation up there with putting his feet on Pelosi's desk. And now you have Charlottesville, which is what we're here to talk about right now. All of that leads us back to Charlottesville. 6 years later, 6 years after the fact. Here's the story out of the local Charlottesville CBS News affiliate, and it reads, several people have been indicted on charges of connected to the torch-lit march that occurred at the University of Virginia in 2017. An Albemarle County grand jury issued indictments of burning an object with the intent to intimidate. That's the crime. That's the charge, at least. Now, according to a release, these indictments allege an offense date of August the 11th, 2017. That was the night before the Unite the Right rally. That was the night of the Tiki Torch March. It's a Class 6 felony. And anyone who's, according to Virginia state law, anyone who's convicted of lighting a Tiki Torch with the intent to intimidate is facing 5 years in prison. So let's recap, folks. 5 years in prison for marching around with a $3 Tiki Torch that they bought at Walmart. You can burn down cities if you're a member of a support group of the regime, but you cannot light a $3 Tiki Torch at Walmart and walk around a public university. So this is where we're at. The article here says that this process is followed no matter how much time has passed or where the alleged offenders may currently be located. So you ask, is there a statute of limitations on lighting a Tiki Torch? No, because they're charging it as a felony. And in the state of Virginia, there is no statute of limitations on any sort of felony. So apparently it is a felony to light a Tiki Torch. Now, obviously this is some law that they use to target the Klan. Cross-burning. I think the Klan actually calls it cross-lighting. Now, I know that because I'm the leader of the Klan, according to the Detroit News. Now, I lost that libel case spectacularly, of course, and that's the point. The media could say anything they want to about you. You have no recourse. Doesn't matter if it's true or not true. The courts can charge you with anything. Doesn't matter if it's true or not true. And you have zero recourse if you're a dissident. Keith?
Well, have you noticed the big difference that has developed between rural areas and urban areas in America? Okay. All of the badness comes from urban areas, either big cities or college towns. That's the pockets of Marxism, cultural Marxism in America. We've got to understand that there are steps that can be taken by states, which for the most part are run by people that think more like us than like them. And they can take steps against the city governments that are doing all these wild-eyed, crazy, lunatic, left-wing initiatives against normal, everyday people and people that protest the degeneracy that has taken over the left. This is what's happening with the people that were in the Tiki Torch March is called lawfare. Same thing is happening to Clarence Thomas. They're trying to go after him. They're trying to punish him using the law. Same thing with Donald Trump. Our whole judicial system, and particularly legal system with things like trial by jury, supposedly safeguards, they're no longer safeguards. They are rubber stamps for the left. And we've got to take steps against these affronts to America's tradition of judiciary and law and justice. And the way that we're going to do that is through the state legislatures. We'll let you know more about this after these words from our sponsor.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs. While you're waiting, drop by our Confederate Corner for a free cup of coffee and good conversation. Remember, there are no strangers here, just friends who haven't met yet. Dixie Republic, we're not just a roadside attraction, we're a destination for our people. For more information, visit DixieRepublic.com.
Why does the left lie constantly? Because they get spiritual power from lying. The lies come from Satan, the father of lies. John 8:44. Here's how the political lying process works. Satan provides the beast with a lie. Then the more they use the lie, the more spiritual power they get. Look, the media is a lie multiplier, and this multiplication gives more evil, spiritual power to the beast, and that can overwhelm and even deceive the body of Christ, especially when the body is being disobedient to the head. The churches today are incorporated, so they're subordinate to human government. They obey the beast and do nothing to restore our national relationship with God. And the government shall be on his shoulders, Isaiah 9:6. That verse is not for the present-day church. Rather, it is for the end-time church, the body of the line of Judah. A message from Christ Kingdom Ministries.
So we're talking in part about the Charlottesville indictments that have come down now 6 years after the fact. 5 years for lighting a tiki torch. 40 years for putting your feet on Pelosi's desk. This brings us back to the overall theme that we're talking about here during this April of Confederate History Month, the idea of a national divorce, which now 44% of Republicans say they are in favor of. I wonder how...
And wonder why, well, when you see things like this.
I was just about to say, Keith, and then I want to turn it back over to you. Now, if January 6th taught us any lessons, I was imagining that the new DA in Charlottesville is going to go after everyone. And I supposed that the only reason the system didn't go after the Unite the Right participants like this back when it happened 6 years ago was because that they didn't have control of the DOJ. You got to remember, during the Unite the Right rally in 2017, Trump was still president. And frankly, things have deteriorated much more now than even as recently as 2017. And then I was thinking, you know, well, that plus they've been busy rounding up, mopping up the floor with the January 6th protesters. But now that they perfected the craft, I assumed it was their time to circle back to Charlottesville. But I learned that it wasn't just that. It wasn't just that. What happened was, I was informed that a Soros-backed district attorney, a candidate for district attorney, a Democrat, defeated the incumbent DA in the Charlottesville area. And he hammered the Republican with attacks that it had that he had not indicted the violent criminals that attended the rally. And I'm sure he didn't. I don't think he indicted any of the Antifa.
Who would have imagined that you could?
But that's not what he was talking about. The Democratic Soros-backed DA candidate, who is now the DA there, was attacking the Republican for not going after the UTR people, okay? And so now he's delivering on his promise. And I mean, for God's sake, folks, they're trying to put the president in prison. They're trying to put Trump in prison. And wait till he gets an all-black jury when he gets indicted in Atlanta. We were talking about this earlier.
They're trying to put Clarence Thomas, one of the justices on the Supreme Court, in jail.
Well,
it's crazy.
You know, we were talking about this earlier tonight during pre-show prep, Keith. You always hear back in the 50s and the 60s how it would have been impossible for a black to have gotten a fair trial with an all-white jury, as if the creators of laws and courts and government itself couldn't be trusted to be just. Well, now we're living under the law of the jungle, and I would love to see how much Trump can expect to get a fair trial and an all-black jury in Atlanta when that comes. But I'd say all of this is baked into the cake. And we need this, though. We need this. They've gone after three so far. They've indicted three people, and frankly, I didn't know of any of the people that they've indicted. I've never heard any of their names before. And if they stick with just these three, then I think it's going to be mostly just political posturing. I assumed that they would cast a wide net and go after everyone because, again, after all, that's what they did with January 6th. It'll be interesting to see if more arrests are made, but still, this sort of prosecution, this is something Rich Hamblin texted me earlier this week, and he's spot on. This sort of prosecution is designed to instill fear among the target population.
And to chill the expression of First Amendment rights.
That's it. It's our version of the Great Purge of Stalinist times, minus the bullets, for now. And it's just as the big mustache himself said, give me the man and I'll find the crime. And that's what's going on here. Total political persecution, plain and simple. But in the end, here's where you have hope, ladies and gentlemen. And here's why I'm not too dejected about all of this. In the end, this is necessary. Every action that is taken like this guarantees that more and more people will adopt that post-United States mindset that is going to be absolutely necessary for our survival.
See, you can't pretend that this is customary. this is business as usual. You've got to react to this. More and more people will react to it. For example, look at what's happened to the Tiki Torch protesters. Did anything like that happen to the protesters at Selma and in Birmingham at, you know, any of the civil rights, the sainted civil rights protests that basically made people like the Unite the Right protesters think that there was something sacred in the American experience about peaceful protest and that they could do it and expect the same treatment that the blacks and the Jews got during the civil rights movement back in the 50s and 60s. They found out right away that they do not play by those rules on the other side. The left is going to try to wipe us out. They are Jewish-inspired. Jews are not part of the founding stock of America, and therefore they have no respect for the founders of this nation and for the principles and the institutions that are part of the foundation of America. If they think they had to be inferior people because they weren't Jews. See, this is what we've got to understand. We're dealing with a group of people, Eastern Europeans, that are, I guess you would say, totalitarians, authoritarians in every way. And people are going to realize, you know, like Dorothy said in The Wizard of Oz, we're not in Kansas anymore. this is what's happened. You know, America, the America that we grew up in no longer exists. And it's basically urban cesspools.
You don't say.
Like against the rest of the nation. And you know what? There is a firewall between us and them. And it's called the state governments. The state governments are still, for the most part, the soundest institutions of our government. And we can turn the state government against these cities, choke off their money, and make them squeal like a pig, as they said in Deliverance, okay?
Yeah, you know, you're certainly going to have to get more stout-hearted state government than we've got now. But I was on a show earlier tonight with Michael Gaddy, who's going to be our guest next week to round out our Confederate History Month series. We were talking about the state governments in the South, I do believe, are certainly better than their counterparts in California, New York, Illinois, and places like that. They're going to have to get a lot stronger, but you're seeing some strength in Florida, and even in a weaker version, even here in Tennessee, not from the governors themselves necessarily, or at least, well, DeSantis is a different story, but Bill Lee, obviously, no good, but the General Assembly at large in Tennessee is all right when compared to its counterparts, and they're going to
have to get a lot stronger. They had the guts to take steps against these left-wingers that were trying to use the Covenant school shooting as a way of you know, striking a blow for transgenderism, and then when it all came out, they started to fall back on, oh, we just want gun control. But that's not the way. That's why they went against Kentucky and Tennessee, because Kentucky and Tennessee had both passed laws in their General Assembly that said that you could not, you know, have gender-changing surgery on any person under 18 years old.
Yeah, well, see, this goes back to how can you have union in this country? State of Florida recently passed the law that you cannot have the gender reassignment surgery, so-called gender reassignment. You're never reassigning your gender. You can't mutilate your genitals if you're under 18. In Washington State, I heard that it is a law that you cannot stop them from doing it. If you're a parent who tries to oppose your kids, you're a doctor, you try to oppose a 10-year-old coming in your office saying, you know, lop off my...
And see, this is what's happening to America worldwide as a result of the Russian-Ukraine war. Russia and China now say nobody wants to align themselves with the United States because the United States stands for gender reassignment surgeries, as they call it euphemistically, gay pride parades, sexual depravity of every sort imaginable, and even some new ones are coming up with now. Basically, if you want to be with America and Western Europe, you've got to be for sexual depravity. And nobody wants to align themselves with sexual depravity. And guess what? America is no longer the number one hegemon in the world. It's Russia and China. They are basically raking it in now. They are on a roll. And America, being run by woke nincompoops and lunatics, is basically squandering the position America had in the world. But you know what? That's probably good for Americans, because we are in the Western Hemisphere, separated by two large oceans, two large moats. And we really had nothing to gain and never did gain anything from getting involved in Eastern European or Eastern Hemispheric politics, World War I, World War II, whatever. All we have is a hatred of most of the world for getting involved in those things. And we can now get away from that, and we can use our wealth and our energy and our ingenuity to make life better for us
okay.
here in America.
We're going to shift gears after this next break and get into the tale of two interracial shootings, how the media treated a white-on-black shooting versus how it treated a black-on-white shooting. Both occurrences happened within the past week. Totally different treatments. We're going to tell you all about it after the break. But first, if you are interested in reading more about the Democratic Communist coup in Charlottesville, our friend Ann Wilson Smith, who contributed one of the chapters in the new book, The Honorable Cause of Free South, she has also written a brand new article for VDare.com, one of our daily reads, the great Peter Brimelow's website. It was just posted on the 20th, so just a couple of days ago. The title of the article is Democrat Communist Coup Intensifies. Soros prosecutor Jim Hensley indicts Charlottesville Tiki Torch demonstrators 6 years later. Now, we gave you our opinion and commentary on the matter. If you want to read more, go to VDare. Go back a couple of days. Ann Wilson Smith writing for Peter Brimelow there. And she wrote a chapter in the book that we hope you'll get.
I hope that the constabulary in the rest of Red State America does not allow them to extradite those people to Charlottesville.
Now, three of them have already been kidnapped, so we'll see.
Protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA News, I'm Jerry Barmesh. A major sewage spill closed many Los Angeles beaches on this Earth Day. This Long Beach resident is not happy about the situation.
I'm just questioning, where's our tax dollars going? Beaches are dirty, water's polluted. It's been like that for a while, so it's disappointing.
An estimated 250,000 gallons of sewage spilled into the Los Angeles River on Thursday due to an equipment malfunction. Sanitation crews are working to clean up the mess. If you're wondering how to properly dispose of expired or unused prescription drugs, here's the answer.
Today is National Prescription Drug Tank Back Day. The purpose of it is to give you a safe, convenient, and responsible means of disposing of prescription drugs so that you're not putting them into the water supply or the landfills. It's also to educate the general public about the potential abuse of medications. You can hit up Google for a location near you, and they will take any kind of drug, no questions asked. I'm Corey Myers.
The U.S. Embassy is warning American citizens in Sudan to shelter in place until further notice. Sudan's military says it has agreed to help evacuate citizens from other countries, including the United States, as fighting rages between rival groups in the capital city of Khartoum. Thousands of Americans are believed to be in the Sudan, and one U.S. citizen is among at least 400 people killed so far. The Texas Senate is passing a bill that would require the Ten Commandments to be displayed in school classrooms. The bill would force every public elementary and secondary school to, quote, display in a conspicuous place in each classroom of the school a durable poster of the Ten Commandments from the Christian Bible. Opponents of the bill say the law directly contradicts the separation of church and state. This is USA News.
Let's see, if something costs less, but people are happier with it? That sounds like something to look into, and that's MediShare. Maybe you've heard switching to MediShare to pay for healthcare can save the typical family $500 a month, and that's huge. But it's also true that people are way more satisfied after making the switch, too. The customer satisfaction rate for MediShare is double that of the typical health insurance plan. Double. MediShare works. It's been around for more than a quarter century, and members have shared more than $3 billion of each other's bills. People love having telehealth and a huge nationwide PPO network. So, yeah, you can save a ton and like it better. Imagine being happy with how you're taking care of your health care. So if you're self-employed or part of the gig economy or you just want a plan you're happy with, you can call right now and get a price within 2 minutes. Very, very smart use of 2 minutes. Here's the number you need. 833-34-BIBLE. That's 833-34-BIBLE. 833-34-BIBLE.
Switch over and talk about the tale of two interracial shootings, as I mentioned a moment ago. But first, yes, indeed, the Charlottesville people being indicted for lighting tiki torches. Why wasn't the black guy who turned an aerosol can into a flamethrower that he was shooting at Unite the Right participants, I wonder if he got indicted.
And I wonder why John Lewis and all those people that started marching across the Selma Bridge in violation of a court order were not prosecuted by the United States government or by the Alabama government.
Well, I'll tell you what, go to Selma now and try to live there. Tell me if that was a good, if the fruit of that corrupt tree was good for the city of Selma. It's unlivable, uninhabitable.
The worst thing that can happen to the left is for them to win, because when they are winning, people see just how morally bankrupt their ideas are.
All right, now, I got two headlines here from CNN. One involves an 84-year-old white man who shot a black teenager who was on his doorstep in the middle of the night. Some reports say the black teen, there's a lot of euphemisms for black, for a young black male. They can
young
be teens,
scholar.
They can be teens, they can be joggers. This time they're referred to him as a scholar. He's a scholar because he was of high school age, so he's a scholar. But the 84-year-old man said he was in fear for his life. Some reports say that the black teenager was trying to get in the house. Some say he was just standing there. The police reports got in the middle. So who knows? But I got two headlines here. Now, another story involves a black, 24-year-old black man who allegedly shot in the head a 6-year-old white girl and her father because a basketball rolled into his yard. CNN carried both headlines. And see if you can spot the difference in just the headlines, not to mention how the entire story was covered.
Approaching tone.
Here's the headline for the first one. White homeowner accused of shooting a black teen who rang his doorbell turns himself in and is released on bail. Okay? Here's the other headline. Suspect who allegedly shot 6-year-old neighbor and her parents in North Carolina has been apprehended. So what's the difference?
The difference is one person is already found guilty before he's even been, before a magistrate. And the other one, they're suggesting, has no guilt.
No. Maybe. But that's not what I was getting at. What I was getting at is the race of the perpetrator and the race of the victim are mentioned when it's white on black, not mentioned at all when it's the other way around. Now, Lauren Witzke was covering this with her friend Edward Zoll just a couple of days ago. We'll let them break it down here for 1 minute. Here's a clip.
Underway in Kansas City, Missouri. There is an elderly man, 84-year-old Andrew Lester, who's being accused of felony armed assault. This man, all he did was defend his property when he felt like his life was in danger. This has led to a brand new, I think, a race war brewing in Kansas City.
So it's 10:30 at night. He hears something downstairs, goes down, sees that somebody's trying to get into his house, and he ended up being afraid. I mean, he was afraid. It was a self-defense thing, and he feared for his life. So after that, the police were called. They investigated, and they saw that there was no wrongdoing. They let him return home, and everything was fine. It wasn't until a mob showed up at his house and started protesting the next day is when they actually decided to file charges for an arrest. This is mob rule that is deciding the judicial process in the United States of America. Here they are protesting in front of this guy's house and calling for his arrest. And you know what was sick, Edward, is that they went and found his grandson and then brought his grandson onto CNN to disavow and call his grandfather like a white supremacist. What a
All right. So, I mean, you know, she said it all right
millennials,
there.
I tell you that. See, they know they have transformed the millennials that are in the schools today into being woke automatons, robots.
All right. That's still, I think the key is the police came the night of the shooting and they let him go. It wasn't until after the mob justice came down and demanded lynching that they came back and arrested him.
That's what Lauren said. It's mob rule. The judicial process takes its cues from the mob, not from the law.
Now, aforementioned Vidare, let's go back to Vidare. Vidare had an article up that found that more white people have been killed by blacks in the last 50 years than American soldiers were killed in the First World War. Now, think about that. And here's interracial violent crime incidents in 2018. We're using the Bureau of Justice statistics here. So in 2018, there were 59,778 white-on-black violent crimes. That doesn't necessarily mean murder, obviously, although murder is included in that. 59,778. Black on white violent crime incidents in 2018, 547,948. So basically 10-1. 10-1. And the media will only cover it and only fan the flames when it fits the narrative. There are countless videos of young black males going up to doors with guns in their hands in very similar situations. And Kansas City is another city that has been certainly ravaged by diversity. And I have seen countless videos this week of doorbell cameras catching black males that fit the description of the person who was shot going up to the door with gun in hand. Now, in this situation, I don't know if he was innocent. I don't know if he was trying to get in. I don't know if he wasn't. We would like to think and hope that the local law enforcement will be able to discern the facts and justice will be carried out one way or another. It's not even about this one incident. What it's about to me is a bunch of blacks come down, threaten violence and disorder, and they cause an arrest to be made. And that the media would focus on this, that they would focus on this when it's the one out of the 10 instead of the 10 out of the 10 to 1.
Well, the left-wing media has already got this old white man, he is already guilty as charged, even before he is being officially charged. They know that all they need to know is the race of the parties, and they know which side they're coming down on. What this shows you is the wisdom of our forefathers in having racially segregated neighborhoods. This is what all of this violence that you see, and this is a symptom of it or an example of it, what happened in Kansas City, is what our ancestors were trying to protect us from by having a de jure racially segregated system. It worked much better for everybody. Black people have not done well under desegregation and under integration. In fact, the average black person lives in a hellish environment now, specifically because of the victories of the civil rights movement. And this is an example of it. See, so many black kids are killed now that weren't killed back during segregation times because of the license that they have they perceive that they have the right to go and act out and do crazy things. And as a result, they're getting killed, they're getting shot, they're getting maimed, stuff like this. They do not have bright futures. They're going to jail and spending a large part of their lives in jail. Oh, all because of the blessed civil rights movement. We would have been so much better back in segregation. We were, and also this man would have been much safer back in the old days. He wouldn't have to be confronting an intruder who might be wishing to do him harm back in the old days. That just would not have happened.
And like I said, whether he was or wasn't, I'm not saying the black teenager, or the scholar, as they're calling him, deserved to be shot. I don't know if he was trying to get in, if he intended to break in and rob or kill the guy, or if he was just, as they say, he thought he was at his brother's house. Well, I mean, okay. Maybe he forgot
where did his brother live, pray tell.
Maybe he forgot where his brother lived or whatever was going on there. Maybe he didn't deserve it. And again, let justice be done. But it's the media's treatment of this when, at the exact same week,
they don't even ask those questions.
A black male be arrested for shooting a 6-year-old girl in the head. Now, at least she survived. Brad Griffin, who always has great takes. At least she survived. The father, who was shot in the back while trying to protect his daughter, is still in bad shape. He's in the hospital. You can donate to their fundraiser. If you go to OccidentalDescent.com, You can find the story and donate to their Give, Send, Go. By the way, I believe she's raised, for the girl who was shot in the head by the black man, they've raised $80,000. Society has given $80,000 to this GoFundMe campaign. The black scholar who was shot by the 84-year-old man who said he was, and he told the police, I was in fear for my life. I don't know if he would be in fear of his life if just he turned on the light and there was a black man just standing there, you know, looking like he was at the wrong place. I don't know what was going on there. But the black man has raised $4 million. So,
It tells you who has the money in America.
Who do you think's given to that $4 million, by the way?
Oh, yeah. I imagine they
it's
are.
It's white. It's self. It's
and I imagine it's virtue a lot of Jews,
white.
Too.
Well, I doubt it. I doubt it. I don't think so. I think it's going to be mostly whites.
It's going to be people that have been misled by the regime into thinking that black people are being tormented and persecuted by whites, but that whites are never tormented or persecuted by blacks.
We'll give you a little more on this, and then we'll start transitioning back into our special series with Gene Andrews and Neil Kumar in the second and third hours, respectively. Stay tuned. It's going by fast already. We're not going to take our foot off the gas, I can tell you that. We'll be right back.
The Honorable Cause of Free South is a collection of 12 essays written by Southern nationalist authors. The book explores topics such as what is the Southern nation, what is Southern nationalism, and how can we achieve a free and independent Dixie. The Honorable Cause answers questions on our own terms. The book invites readers to understand for themselves why a free and independent Dixie is both preferable and possible. The book pulls in some of the biggest producers of pro-South content, including James Edwards, the host and creator of The Political Cesspool, and Wilson Smith, author of Charlottesville Untold, Arkansas congressional candidate and activist Neil Kumar, host and creator of the Dissident Mama podcast, Rebecca Dillingham, author of A Walk in the Park, My Charlottesville Story, Identity Dixie's Patrick Martin, and yours truly, Michael Hill, founder and president of the League of the South, as well as several other authors. The Honorable Cause is available now at Amazon.com.
As you are aware, America is divided over every fault line possible. This is intentionally fostered by those who do not love God, family, or country. We believe a peaceful future as a free people absolutely depends on civility. Clarion Call for Civility is looking for funding and volunteers at every level to make our hopes and efforts a reality. Please donate, sign our pledge, and help us in our sacred cause. Please visit callforcivility.com for more details. callforcivility.com.
Fighting for the soul of liberty and true pursuit of happiness for everyone. Freedom Fest 2023 is coming to the home of the blues and birthplace of rock and roll, Memphis, Tennessee, July 12th through 15th. It's the ultimate summit for liberty, educating and empowering through art, music, film, and comedy, while promoting economic freedom and highlighting today's political issues. Use promo code ROUND50 to save $50 off the current rate. Reserve your spot at freedomfest.com. See you in Memphis.
So talking about the tale of two interracial shootings, how the media has treated these things, one just wall-to-wall blanket coverage, one very little coverage at all, and what little coverage it got, CNN did cover both. They were sure to mention the race in one and not the other, depending on if the narrative is
blanket condemnation served. Of the white man who did the shooting in one, and nothing at all approaching condemnation for the black man that shot the white
it
person.
Was pretty much just matter of fact, who, what, where, when, and why, but the racial angle didn't come in at all, even though it's 10 times more likely to go down the way it did in North Carolina and not in Kansas City. And, of course, there's a big difference than saying you fear for your life. Again, conflicting reports as to whether or not the scholar
and
was trying to get in the house.
Your 6-year-old neighbor had a ball bounce into your yard.
Yeah, and then get shot in the head. Now, and then CNN, how disgusting these worms are to find this guy's grandson. As Rich Hamblin, who is always good for a quote, Rich saying, no revolution is as successful as one that causes children to denounce their fathers, their grandfather in this case. That's the state of society today. And you know, by the way, you're going to think this is a joke. They found this guy, this grandson's social media account, and he's got cornrows in his hair, and he publicly proclaims that he is a Satanist who is in favor of the transgender LGBTQIA+, He actually worships Satan. So,
what a stellar citizen in the making we have there.
In any event, it would take somebody of that character and caliber to do what he did. Calling his granddad a racist, you know. What did he do?
Throwing his own flesh and blood under the bus. What a kid.
For a pat on the back by Don Lemon, literally. So the story out of North Carolina, though, same week, you know, why is the media covering one and not the other? North Carolina man allegedly shot a 6-year-old girl, her parents, and an additional neighbor after a basketball rolled into his yard. Now, Brad Griffin, back to his commentary on this. I'm reading from OccidentalDescent.com. Again, you can go there and donate to this little girl. She looks just like my brother's daughter. It's uncanny. And
sweet and innocent as you could imagine.
When I first heard about this, Brad wrote, I thought the little girl had been killed like Cannon Hynett, who was shot dead also in North Carolina while riding his bicycle a few years ago. Remember, the black neighbor just walked up behind him, shot him in the back of the head.
The dangers of racial integration in your residential neighborhood. This is what this points out, both Cannon and this little girl.
It isn't an isolated incident. Brad continues, in Alabama, a black woman recently shot and killed a 13-year-old white boy who was playing in her yard. She claims it was self-defense. The story was also predictably buried by the media, while this Ralph Yarl, that's the scholar we've been talking about in Kansas City, while that shooting has dominated the news cycle all week. And it's an endless loop. These shootings continue to happen. White victims are buried by the media. Black victims are used to fan the flames and incite riots. And manifestos are either published or not published to the public, depending on how they serve the narrative. And it's one of the commenters said on Occidental Descent. Shot by a black man because a basketball rolled into the yard. Now you know why our ancestors believed in segregation.
Absolutely. See, this is, you know, we have nothing that we can believe in anymore from the mainstream news media. The mainstream news media is no longer a journalistic organization or institution. It is a ministry of propaganda, pure and simple.
All right, so that's about, well, I wasn't going to do this, but this is awful, but you need to hear it. You need to hear and see these things. So this is the girl after she was shot in the head. Now, obviously she survived, but you can see the gaping bullet wound. It grazed her two inches over. It blows her head off. Yeah. Here is the local coverage of this story, and you'll hear the girl actually talking in this video.
Why did you shoot my daddy and me? Daddy shoot a kid's dad.
This morning, a 6-year-old girl and her parents recovering after they were shot by a neighbor, all because of an errant basketball. Authorities say 24-year-old Robert Lewis Singletary grabbed a gun and approached a group of children after the basketball from their street game rolled into his driveway. According to police, William White, the father of 6-year-old Kingsley, noticed Singletary and tried to draw gunfire toward himself to protect the children before being shot in the back. He is still in the hospital.
So, you know, that's the reality of diversity. That's the reality of living in a diverse society.
In an integrated neighborhood.
And for all of the people who are feigning disgust and contempt, where is their sympathy and compassion for this story? Not one self-hating white, not one person who is filled to the gills with white guilt is going to have anything to say about this.
And all of these so-called white leaders and Jewish leaders that are supporting black rights and black interests and whatnot, they wouldn't live anywhere near a neighborhood like this. They get as far away from black people as they can.
You could see the neighborhood in this news footage, and it's a very lower...
It's a working class / lower middle class neighborhood.
I would say, yeah, that's giving it some credit. Unfortunately,
white people have to live in those neighborhoods because of things like affirmative action that give better jobs to blacks and whites unfairly, normally, and because black people live a charmed life in the law of the United States of America today, and white people, on the other hand, are, you know, they are persecuted and oppressed by our legal system and by our economic system. That's why they're living here in this proximity, and as you can see, it's not just an aesthetic matter, it's a matter of life and death.
All of that said, that's just this week's news and just reasons from this last 7-day period as to why we need to be embracing the idea of a national divorce. And don't you know, we have a book out this Confederate History Month, brand new, The Honorable Cause of Free South, that tackles the issue of separation in a very responsible way. And it's getting great reviews around the world, not just in Dixie. Sasha Rossmuller, our friend, the writer for the German magazine, commented this in his review, and I'll read it very briefly. The South is rising again. If a manifesto is needed in order to back up this claim, it has already been written. The Honorable Cause of Free South qualifies as a written work for liberation because it addresses not only the head, but also the heart and soul. The reader experiences a resurrection of the Southern states and a visionary orientation that is not limited to a nostalgic retrospective. I swear, these reviews elicit a passion that they draw from what they've read. The volume of essays, Sasha continues, breathing devotion and the will to live is nothing less than a piece of literary aesthetic in anticipation of nation building. The 12 authors of the essays, which can almost be read as prayers or declarations of love in their written styles, are born from fervent passions that evoke the authors as Grail Knights in the Southern struggle for freedom and self-determination. And that is precisely what the authors demand. Sasha concludes, I'll skip to the end here, since rarely anything is given to us as a gift in life, the solution is not only advice, but also a very personal demand. It will require mental, physical, and even spiritual commitment to act, as well as write, network, build, protect, congratulate, undermine, beguile, astonish, outlast, do, and succeed. This is required of the remnant. The last essay in this amazing book focuses on the strategic thought, and it is worth reading not just from the perspective of a Southern nationalist, but every nationalist. It is a reminder that the COVID-19 lockdowns, rampant urban criminality, transgender-inspired child mutilations, and abortion are all Yankee policies imposed on Southerners. And it was Southern state governments that have pushed back to the extent that anybody has pushed back. This is why Southern nationalists need to define themselves as a collective movement that simply believes that self-rule is better than rule by New York and California. So, that's if you. I think that these reviews are almost pieces of art in their own right, Keith. That was a fantastic review, and that's only part of it. You can read the entire thing. We posted it yesterday at thepoliticalcesspool.org. That's from Sasha Rossmuller. I just saw today another review that was written for a French language publication by Remy Tremblay. Well, get that posted up. Vitor might be running with it. But in any event, Remy, these reviews are just incredible. So here's the thing. We would love for you to buy the book. You can buy it on Amazon. It would help us some. It would help us more if you ordered an autographed copy through TPC, and we sent you instructions in the mail if you're an established donor and how you can do that. You should have gotten a letter about that about a week ago, and so certainly that would help us out. We need your support during this time of inflation and economic distress. Believe me, it's hit us too. We've had the first 4 months of this year are certainly way behind where we were last year at this point. And I know everybody's feeling it at the gas pumps, at the grocery store, at fast food places. But we do need your help to stay on the air. God knows we need to stay on the air. We need to be in this battle. We've been doing it at a high level for almost 20 years. We got a lot more to do. A lot more to do.
You know, this is a package. This is a present gift wrap for us by the left. We really have to thank the left for being so over the top, being so oppressive, being so absolutely evil in their persecution of us. And what has happened, like, for example, these shootings, the shooting of the little girl and her father in North Carolina. Was that right? North Carolina? Was
it? Yes.
Okay. And see, there's no gray area. You know, they're not trying to be subtle about this at all. They are showing sheer and utter hatred towards us. And that is causing a reaction. It's causing a reaction not only here in America, but overseas, all over the world. America can no longer pretend to be the shining city on the hill. It has been taken over by leftist authoritarian thugs that are trying to persecute and prosecute average citizens who are simply taking advantage of their God-given and government-given right to protest government policies. Anybody that tries to live in harmony in this integrated America of today is risking their lives, particularly white people. They are the targets, and their enemies are not being prosecuted and not being punished for what they do.
All right. If I talk anything more about these stories, I'm going to have an aneurysm. We're going to take a break. We're going to regroup. We're going to come back and celebrate the South's greatest warrior with Gene Andrews. We're going to be talking about
Gene
Nathan
Andrews,
Bedford.
The avatar of all things Confederate.
We'll be talking about Nathan Bedford Forrest with Brother Gene as Confederate History Month rolls on here on TPC. Get the book, everybody. Get the book. We'll be back.